Stephon Diggs is traded to the Texans, and Rashee Rice likes to go fast. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros, as always. We have a pretty big episode for you guys, and some pretty big news for a random day in early April, right? This is right in between that time and in free agency and the draft.
Yeah.
That little awkward lull in the NFL league year, I wouldn't say it's a dead spot. It's not the summertime. But it's definitely a time where you don't get very much news. But this is a very random day where we just had Stephon Diggs, who was traded to the Texans. And just a couple of days ago, Rashee Rice, he went fast. He went fast. So this is going to end up, we'll talk about that when we get there. But Stephon Diggs has been traded to the Texans. So Diggs was packaged in with two late round picks, a fifth and a sixth. And in return, they got a second round pick, the Bills. So the Texans, don't look now, but this team looks, at least in their pass catching core, electric. They already have their quarterback in the future in CJ Stroud. They have Tank Dell. They have Nico Collins. They have Dalton Schultz. They still have Noah Brown. And they just brought in Joe Mixon as a running back just a little while back. And they still have Damian Pierce as another running back in that core. They have bookend tackles in Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil to lead a pretty solid offensive line, if I may say so. And a defense that's continuing to get better. So, CJ, what are your thoughts on this for the Texans?
The Texans, you know... They just fleeced Buffalo, let's be honest. I mean, you gave up a second-round pick, not even for this year, but for next year, the 2025 draft. And in exchange, you got a top-10 wide receiver for the reigning offense rookie of the year. I'm not going to lie to you. That's good cooking. And you already mentioned their offense, you know, with guys like Schultz and Mixon and Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and even guys like Damian Pierce, who's still there too, a young defense. Led by young, pretty darn good head coach, if I do say so myself, D'Amico Ryans, this team's going to be scary. And even though the AFC South itself doesn't get a lot of love, you have to notice that it's not just the Texans. Darn near every team is cooking. There's a bit of an arms race going on because you saw the Titans, right? They're betting big on Will Levis. You may have lost Derrick Henry, but you got a serviceable running back in Tony Pollard. You got Calvin Ridley. You got Lloyd Cushenberry. And you got L'Jarius Sneed. That's pretty solid. And you look at Jacksonville, who's stockpiling guys. You know, you got Josh Allen back. You just signed Mitch Morse. And you got Gabe Davis. But then there's the Texans, who see that everyone else in their division is making moves. And they know that they at least have a young quarterback that shows promise, and they're trying to build around him. A novel concept, I know, looking at you, New England. But all jokes aside, strictly from the perspective of the Houston Texans, this is an absolute win. And I know we all like to say, oh my God, but what if there's a sophomore slump? But honestly, if anyone can beat that, it'd probably be CJ Stroud, right? Because, I mean, just the team around him got that much better. And granted, teams in your division are beefing up as well, but you have as well, and you're still managing to stay in front of the pack. And when you see, like, an actual true wide receiver one that he has, this gives the Texans, like, the green light to win the division. In fact, the division is easily theirs to lose. And they could make some noise in the playoffs, especially if you want to keep pace with like the Lamar Jacksons, the Patrick Mahomeses, and the Joe Burrows of the world.
I already saw this team as a championship contender going into this year. I thought they made some really good moves on the defense. They brought in Danielle Hunter to pair up with Will Anderson to rush from the edges. They brought in Joe Mixon. I mean, this is an absolute stunner of a move because I thought that this team was going to stick with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. I thought that they were comfortable with those two. I believe that they think that Tank Dell is a number one wide receiver. He might be. I'm not sure. He's a rookie, so we'll see how his career pans out. He could be. Nico Collins is really good as well. Some people try to say he's the number one. Noah Brown is a pretty good wide receiver lining up wide. He's obviously not a one or a two, but he's a solid complementary piece. They brought back Dalton Schultz. They brought in Azeez Al-Shazier. I may or may not have butchered that name.
I think it's Azeez Al-Shazier, but
Shazier. Yeah, my apologies on the pronunciation. But it is their division to lose, and I would even go as far as to say that this team should be favored to win the AFC. Should they not? I understand that we always try to bring up Patrick Mahomes. As long as the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, they have a chance. And they also have Travis Kelce still on the team, and they have really good coaching and an elite defense. They're going to be in contention. But that doesn't mean other teams can be in contention too. And I think the Texans have put themselves in that kind of position. We'll see what CJ Stroud is made of. I think this kid can really play. And the fact that he was able to go 11-6 with the team that he had, his best wide receivers were Tank Dell, Nico Collins, who previously was hardly a good name to be thrown around. Nico Collins, solid wide receiver, but was never looked at as a great wide receiver. Dalton Schultz, Noah Brown. I mean, and he was able to, as a rookie, take that team, that offense, to the playoffs. And win a playoff game, mind you. And now you add Stephon Diggs to that mix. And then you also add Joe Mixon. Your defense got a lot more fortified this offseason. At the cornerback position, it's interesting. What they're doing at the cornerback position, they're looking for anyone, just anyone to pair up with Derek Stingley. They brought in Jeff Okuda, who could be a good addition. They brought in CJ Henderson. They brought in Desmond King. It looks like they're throwing stuff at the wall and hoping it sticks. It looks like what they're doing is bringing in a bunch of different players who have good potential, high upside, but haven't really lived up to their expectations. I mean, Desmond King, he's just past his prime, but still. And they're looking for one of those players, at least one of them, to pan out, which I think is a solid strategy. We'll see how that goes. But either way, this team looks electric. And I also want to point out, I think they have a better offensive line than the Chiefs do.
I feel Laramie Tunsil hard carries that because the Chiefs have the best interior offensive line in the league. But, yeah, I mean, I can see an argument, yeah.
Like, I think their bookend tackles are much better. I'll take Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard over Jawan Taylor and Donovan Smith any day.
Is Smith even there still, now that I think about it?
No, he's not. I'm talking about the Chiefs last year. Because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl with that offensive line. I wouldn't say it's a good offensive line. It's not bad either. It's a solid one. And I think the Texans have a really good offensive line. I think that's kind of I think the Texans are following the formula that it takes to win Super Bowls. You need the elite quarterback. You need a really good offensive line. You need at least one elite pass catcher, and you need coaching and the defense. Coaching and defense are kind of, I mean, your defense isn't going to be good without the coaching. But they have all of those things that you need to win a Super Bowl. Their running game, I don't think it's elite, but I think it looks solid. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce is a really, really good core. It's not so, like, neither of them are Christian McCaffrey level, but you don't need that to win a Super Bowl. I think we've talked about that a lot on this show. You don't need the elite running back, the bell cow, to win it all. You need the quarterback, and you need to keep him on his feet on offense. That's kind of an oversimplified formula to winning Super Bowls. Quarterback, protection. And then when you have that protection and that extra time to throw, that makes all of the wide receivers and tight ends much better. And obviously you need somebody out there. Patrick Mahomes needed Travis Kelce. He needed Rashee Rice. But they were still able to win with that little in their pass catching core, because they had an offensive line that could keep him on his feet. I think this offensive line's better than that. And so we'll see what CJ Stroud's made of. I think he's that type of quarterback who could eventually win at least one Super Bowl for the Texans. We'll see how it goes. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll regress. Maybe he'll get better. But either way, I think the expectations are sky high for this Texans team right now.
They have to be, you know? I mean, I'm not saying like how roster-wise they're similar, not at all, but there's kind of like a similar feeling with this Texans team to kind of like that Bengals team back in the day, like when they went to the Super Bowl, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Something like along those lines, because, you know, you've got like a really, really good second-year man at quarterback, and you just got him a new toy to play with. The defense might need a little work, but it's manageable, and things are just slowly coming together. I mean, why not Houston? I mean, just on paper, especially on offense, now they have just as much talent as KC does. Adam, you're muted.
You are right. On offense, I think they definitely have more talent than the Chiefs do. The only spot I would say that they have obviously the clear advantage is quarterback. And most of that isn't even Stroud's fault. Most of that isn't even Stroud's fault. Mahomes didn't play his rookie year. Stroud is just entering his sophomore season. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say CJ Stroud is any better, but I'm just saying he's a wild card. We'll wait and see. He looks like he's a very promising quarterback who could be one of the best in the league. We'll see. But the team around you looks awesome. They've really invested in that offensive line. It's gotten significantly better over the years. And I think they have a chance to, contend for this conference. And honestly, I wouldn't say, because they're such a young team, I wouldn't say that the expectation is to win it all this year. They should. But this is also a very young team that is not just in contention to win it this year, but also next year and the year after that. It's a very young team, and a lot of these players are under contract for a few years. So they have the time to really build this team up. Should the expectation be for them to at least contend? Absolutely. Anything less than, I would say, the AFC Championship, I would say would probably be a bust, because they made the division round last year, and then they got their crap handed to them by the Ravens. I think they should do better than that. They need to make the AFC Championship at least. And you could even make a case that they can even, I mean, I don't want to say you should beat the Chiefs, but I think you should beat the Chiefs. I mean, you have more talent. You have more offensive firepower than them. I know that it's Patrick Mahomes, but your offense is better than theirs. Your defense obviously isn't as good, but it's still a good defense. I think you're more balanced than the Chiefs. I think you should be expected to at least dance with the Chiefs. So we'll see how that all works out.
You know, I think it's reasonable too, because when people, you know, I think they're kind of like dazzled by the Chiefs a little too much. Because when I say the Chiefs are good, what we really mean is Patrick Mahomes is good. Because the Chiefs are a very top-heavy team. You know what I mean? They're carried by Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, and Trent McDuffie. But once you look past the surface, they're very fragile. You know what I mean? So they're saying from a pure like roster base standpoint, and it comes to death, Houston has a clear advantage.
Yeah. Houston should have the advantage. I think I don't think I'll ever bash a team for losing to the Chiefs, because they have the greatest quarterback of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. That's it. That's just the way it is. They could have less talent than you, but because they have that guy who is able to overcome some of their deficiencies on the rest of the team, then it's just, it doesn't seem fair. It's not fair. He's a once in a lifetime player who happens to be a second in a lifetime player because we just had Tom Brady 2 seconds ago. But I mean, that's the standard. If you can beat the Chiefs, then you can win the Super Bowl. And I think this team can beat the Chiefs. So, you know, Stephon Diggs is going into his second year. I don't see a sophomore slump. I'll say that much too.
No, I don't either.
Because like everyone says sophomore slump. How often do we see those with quarterbacks? Usually after their rookie year, they get better. They don't get worse. Like, please name me a sophomore slump where the player, it's not like, yes, he may have had a good rookie season. If they regress in year two, usually it means that they just sucked and they weren't a very good quarterback.
Yeah, fair.
I guess Dak Prescott, that's the only name that I could put out there. And I'm not including Mac Jones. That guy just sucked. Maybe he could have been better because of the situation around him, but I just don't think he was the guy. Yeah. All right. I want to, before we move on to the next segment, I want to give a Bills spin to this, which is how the Bills look without Stephon Diggs, because it is really scary for this team. I do feel for Bills fans. They looked in trouble before when they still had Diggs. Now it's really bad. Their number one wide receiver right now is Curtis Samuel.
Who they overpaid, I might add.
Yeah. It's not looking good. And they just released a lot of key players on their defense. I understand everyone keeps saying, well, they were old. They were not the same players. I completely get that. A lot of these players were aging. They did not look the same, but they were still key players on your defense. And you were like, either way, you were better without with them than you were without them.
And even now, even if they were aging, even if that's true, it doesn't matter if they're aging because you have to replace them and you did not do that. So it'd be one thing if you got rid of an aging good player and replaced him, even if it's somebody who's not as high ceiling, but you didn't even replace them. Like, they're just holes all over your lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Their offensive line, I guess, looks fine. It looks better. I think their offensive line is the most intact unit of that entire team. And even there, there's some, didn't they lose their center?
They did. Yes.
So there you go. As long as they have Josh Allen, they still have a chance to be competitive, but how competitive will they be? Maybe 9-8, 10-7.
I mean, without Diggs, well, now what? I mean, you're going to have to start leaning on the ground game because not only did you lose Stephon Diggs, you even lost Gabe Davis. And like you said, their wide receiver one is Curtis Samuel, and their number two is Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you have Dawson Knox and the kid Dalton you drafted Kincaid. In the first round. Yeah, that's
Kincaid.
But the two tight end set is basically dead in this league. Let's be real. And I like James Cook, but he's not a bell cow. And Lord knows you don't have Jack and or crap behind him. And then the defense, which used to be like the strong suit of your team, has been gutted, scrapped, and sold for spare parts. That's basically what's happened. And as I always hear, well, as long as we have Allen, we have a chance. But if Mahomes were in Buffalo, you could probably be like, it'll be fine. But Allen and Sean McDermott, who I am on record saying is not that great and is vastly overrated, oh boy, it's not looking good.
Well, my question is, what is your definition of fine? Because I think with Mahomes, you're not winning a Super Bowl with this team either.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, because at least with Mahomes, you could book that if Mahomes was on Buffalo, you could at least book that they'd be in the AFC Championship game, maybe. But no. For Buffalo, maybe. That's a big
I don't think so.
But for Buffalo, as it sits right now, I mean, if they get to the playoffs, that's just because their division is great. The Patriots are deep in a rebuild. The Jets are, I don't know what the Jets are. They might be good. They might not be. It's kind of a crapshoot. And Miami, I keep saying it only because it's true, all flash, no substance, all sizzle, no steak. Someone's got to win that division. And even if it's Buffalo, I think their absolute ceiling is one and done in the playoffs. Whether it's wild card, whether they win the division, like,
They should remain competitive. Their offensive line still looks fine. They can address the offensive line. They could address the remaining holes in day two of the draft. They can try and get another wide receiver in the first round. And their defense looks it's really fallen off since the early days of McDermott. It used to be their strong suit, their selling point. For the Buffalo Bills was that their defense was always going to be good. Now it's not. So I think they'll still remain competitive. I don't think they'll be bad. Like, they won't be a cellar dwelling team. I don't think they'll be middling like 8-9 either. I think they'll be a 9-8, 10-7 team.
Well, 9-8 is literally still middling.
I guess, but you're still above 500 and you can make the playoffs at 9-8. It's happened a few times. And the Packers won a playoff game at 9-8. So I think, yeah, I guess it's kind of middling, but it depends on what kind of 9-8 you are. And with the Packers, it was a good 9-8. With the Bills, it would be a bad 9-8. But they should, I think they should still be an above 500 team. They should be in contention for the playoffs. I would set my expectations for them to even make it. Because I still think they have a solid – if Josh Allen is as great a wide receiver as we think he is, he should be able to make do with Curtis Samuel, Dawson Knox, and Dalton Kincaid.
Well, one, I didn't realize that Josh Allen was a wide receiver. Two, you kind of said he was. I'm just –
Did I say wide receiver? If he's the elite quarterback that he says he is, he will make do with Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox – especially since he has
another turnover, but okay.
Since he has a good enough offensive line that it'll keep him on his feet, at least for the most part. And you have a back that you can throw to as well. I think they'll be okay. Like, it depends on your definition of okay. Will they be championship contenders? No. But they'll still be a competitive team because they have Josh Allen.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that. I do, but I don't know. This season, at least, their Super Bowl window just slammed shut. You're not winning the Super Bowl this year, Buffalo. Josh Allen or not. And even still, the Texans, which you could argue are already on the same tier as you, have clearly leapfrogged you. The full-strength Bengals, you will not beat. You will not beat the full-strength Ravens. As long as the Chiefs have Mahomes, at least in the playoffs, you're not going to beat them. So can they keep pace with literally any of these other teams in the AFC that we would consider contenders? My answer is no. No, they're not going to.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I just don't think they're an elite team anymore.
They're
competitive. They're a competitive one. They're a competitive one. You know what, though? I think
in the playoffs.
We're going to see what Josh Allen is made of without an elite quarterback, without an elite wide receiver. God, no, Josh, Stephon Diggs is a quarterback and Josh Allen's a wide receiver in my world today.
Understandable. Yeah,
I think we're going to find out, we're going to learn a lot about Josh Allen this year. Because if he doesn't have that elite wide receiver, does he make do with what he has? Did he need Stephon Diggs or is he still really good without him? I'm also old enough to remember that one year before Stephon Diggs got there. It was Josh Allen's second year in the league. He still threw for over 20 touchdowns. And he had John Brown and Cole Beasley as his number one, as his top targets. He made the playoffs. He didn't do that well. But the Bills were a competitive team. Josh Allen's older now. He has more development in this league. He knows more about reading defenses. Can he do better than that? Can he do better than that 2019 season? I think he can do that. I think he can. I think the Bills My expectation is going to be the playoffs. But that's all. That's all. If they lose in wild card weekend, I'm not surprised at all. All right. We're going to step aside. Next, Rashee Rice on the Kansas City Chiefs. In a little bit of trouble. What does this mean for the Chiefs? Is he going to be out of the league? Will he not be? Is there going to be a slap on the wrist? What happens? That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So Rashee Rice is in a little bit of trouble with not just the league, but also the law. So there was a clip, there was a video that just surfaced of two cars that were speeding down the freeway in Dallas. And they both caused, it looked like they were drag racing. And it caused a chain reaction of car crashes, and both cars left the scene. It was confirmed that Rashee Rice was in one of those two cars. I'm not sure if it has been confirmed that he was driving. But CJ, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Now, it's it obviously depends. You know, because this isn't like a Henry Ruggs deal where somebody died, right? And we also don't know if he was driving. So let's just say the worst case scenario happens for Kansas City, right? Rice is driving and he's the one that caused the accident. You know what? No, we're not even going to do that, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Whether he was driving and caused the crash and literally ran off, or he didn't and just ran off with whoever did cause the crash, the same result's going to happen. At maximum, he's getting a slap on the wrist. And because nobody died, the league will cover it up like they cover up everything else, because that's what they do. And I will mention that I think if he was not on the Chiefs, this guy is getting probably a little more than a slap on the wrist, probably like a season suspension for if this were like literally any other team. You know what I mean? I mean, even if somebody in the hospital like died from their injuries in that car crash, I don't really think anything's going to happen to Rashee Rice. I think the Chiefs need to put on their big boy pants though and actually discipline them. But, you know, I don't think they're going to do it. But it also doesn't matter, in my eyes, too much what happens, because the Corvette was his. It doesn't matter how he was driving. It was his. And legally, people will tell you, and I've been told, like, you got to be careful who you give your car to, because insurance-wise, you're still responsible. And even still, Rice, according to an attorney for Classic Lifestyle, has said he was the only one permitted to drive that car.
Yes.
And I mean, granted, like nobody died, but some people were hurt, and it's just justice needs to be served, you know, because I mean, I'm not saying throw him out of the league, but there has to be more than just like a token fine. There should be like a 4 to 6 game suspension here.
It has been also confirmed that Rice was in the car. He was in the Lamborghini at the time of the crash.
Yeah,
and he was the only one permitted to drive the car. Seems like they're working around even answering the question of whether or not he was driving. If he did, I think he should 100% be out of the league. But there's no reason why he shouldn't.
Look, I mean, I'm just saying it doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what's going to happen. And because nobody died, they will. And when you compile that with the fact that he plays for Kansas City, who's like the new darling of the league, they're not going, he will not get thrown out of the league. And a lot of it, it's not even just a Kansas City thing. I just think it's like icing on the cake, but it's because nobody died, they're going to keep him around. Because if this were another Henry Ruggs situation where somebody actually died, then I think regardless where not he's on the Chiefs, he's out of the league. But I think, and I know that solely because nobody died, he's probably going to be fine. Should he be? Absolutely not. But will he be? Probably. Like I said, he should at least be suspended for a few games because this is like a legal thing too. But I mean, how many times have we seen it? A player does something very stupid, dangerous, and illegal off the field. And because they play for the NFL, they get no legal repercussions. Because let me tell you something, Adam. If it was you or me who did this, you better believe we're facing some jail time. Or at least getting our license revoked.
Yeah. Well, like, here's the state law in Texas. Leaving the scene of an accident involving death or serious injury is a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in a state prison. Yeah. If the injury is not serious, it is a felony punishable by up to 1 year in a county jail or up to 5 years in a state prison and or fine of up to $5,000. So either way, this guy should be facing jail time.
You know what? Yeah, I mean, that's what the law says. But when does that matter? And I'm not saying that to justify it. I'm saying that kind of like in a defeated way, because this isn't anything new. Players don't face jail time for the horrible things they do. And in any state, regardless from Texas to Maine to Washington to Georgia, you cannot, especially when it's a 4-car accident or something like that, 4-6 car accident, some horrible number like that. You can't just leave the scene. That literally, like you said, Texas or not, that's a felony. You cannot just hit and run. Even if you just leave your car there and then just scamper off, you cannot do that. And it actually sickens me knowing that it is more likely than not that at max he's getting a token fine.
Yeah, well, we'll see what ends up happening. If it's confirmed that he was driving, I strongly believe that the league won't let him back in the league, but won't let him back to play. I mean, the fact that they can't confirm whether or not he was driving is the only thing that is holding back Rashee Rice from not playing another snap in the league again. You remember Brandon Spikes in 2015? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brandon Spikes was supposed to be back as a Patriot, which I was very excited for. Then I found out he got involved in a hit and run. The Patriots released him immediately. And that was also because they were able to confirm right away that Brandon Spikes was the one driving. With Rashee Rice, we don't know yet. We just know that he was the only one permitted to drive the car, which also shows a lot of irresponsibility on his part, even if he wasn't driving. Because if the other person didn't even have their license or just was too young to drive, and he was sitting there in the passenger seat, what does that show? What does that say about him?
Yeah. And this also says, if it turns out he is driving, because like you said, what the Patriots did for Brandon Spikes, right?
Yes.
If he's even found to be driving, and even if he does just get a slap on the wrist by the league, if we find out he's driving and he is still allowed to suit up for week one, that is just very damning of the character of the Kansas City Chiefs organization, is it not? Because the Patriots, we saw a guy like that, and we cut them when that happened. And once again, it's all if he's driving the car. But if it turns out he is driving and he stays a Chief, then what kind of message does that send? Where it's like, oh, you could do whatever the hell you want as long as we win.
Right. It's just not a good message. But again, like there have been a lot of players who've done some bad things and they've remained in the league. Kareem Hunt is still in the league. Granted, he was released by the Chiefs once that happened. The Chiefs. Yeah. But he ultimately ended up back on an NFL roster about a year later. He ended up on the
Browns.
He ended up on the Browns.
Or I'll do you one better. So, ironically, also the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill, is a child beater. This is a known fact. They gave him a token suspension, but, you know, once the NFL put pressure on his fiance or whatever it was to drop it, they're just like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, you broke your kid's arm, but you can still play. It's like, I'm not going to lie. This is like, I don't know. These players, you know, just because they're famous, they don't face any justice.
Yeah. Well, also, like, nothing was confirmed with Tyreek Hill. That's one thing.
Well, all I know is a kid said, I'm scared of daddy, and kid had a broken arm. I mean, I'm just saying.
I know. This also nothing. Like, I'm just saying nothing can be, nothing was confirmed. Innocent until proven guilty.
I mean, yeah, I'll grant you that, but you could apply the same logic to OJ Simpson. I mean, really.
Sure. Yeah. All right. That's all the scheduled content that we have for today, but do you have any other thoughts before we end the show today?
All I'm going to say to all our fans listening is stay tuned for some draft coverage because, oh, it's about that time.
We're getting there. It is officially April, and we are going to cover all of the most important draft prospects. Some intriguing names in the skill positions on defense, at quarterback. J.J. McCarthy is rising. His stock is rising so much, for better or worse, and it's unbelievable. All right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our YouTube at FumbleRooski Podcast. Be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our coverage and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.